broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places, and you'll find out it's true. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. It's radio for patriots by patriots, and it's all yours, baby, till 1 o'clock this morning on the Pacific Coast and 4 a.m. out East. And, of course, our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can pick up a live streaming video cast of our show if you have, of course, our backstage pass. If you go to our homepage right now, as a matter of fact, there's a clip that we have posted, and we'll be clipping. We'll be clipping. If I was a football player, that would be.
Yeah, it's a penalty.
We will be posting more clips from time to time of our Phil TV and HD. So if you haven't seen us doing our high-definition broadcast, go over there and take a look at the. This is a clip from last week. I think we had Steve Bozell on as a guest. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to be bringing on here in just a moment Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. Is that music? Wow. What was that, bud?
Sounded like a communism or something.
Communism? You know what you got open? You got iTunes. Turn that down. Dean Wheeler joining us from the Northern California Holistic Center here in just a moment. But first, our affiliate spotlight for you guys this evening, those of you in Indianapolis, WXNT is, of course, our great station there. Two new affiliates, too. This is WRWR in Macon, Georgia, and WVTT in Olean, New York. Two great stations adding themselves to our list, to our affiliate list. We have next hour, we're going to have Larry Grover on the line, who's running for state senate in California. And he's going to be talking a little bit about the political makeup, and that is the political landscape nationally, not so much locally in California, although he is, as I said, he's a candidate for office. But he'll be talking about the political landscape and fundraising and the an attempt to aid the people in the Midwest with tornado relief. 877-876-PHIL. First off, though, Dean Wheeler joining us from the Northern California Holistic Center, and Memorial Weekend is ahead, and with Memorial Weekend, of course, we've got ourselves an opportunity to relax a little bit, Dean, and I know that you offer up there at the spa, you have not only the non-traditional ways of relaxing, yoga and aromatherapy and massages and everything else, but you've got these couples retreats, is that right?
That is correct, Phil, and real happy to have them, too, because they're very popular. We are looking more and more into ways that we can have men and women join us together and, as couples, as married couples, to enjoy our resort and really heal, not so much relaxing in body, which is what we try to do whenever we go on a vacation, but we also want to relax spiritually, we want to relax mentally, and we want to relax emotionally. And we're always looking for new ways to do that. With men and women together, and that is that's really what we're about. And we've come through a lot as a couple. Myself, Emeralda, and myself come through quite a bit in our marriage, and we want people to experience that as well.
All right, you have a couple of you've got one of your couple classes that you will be yourself teaching, and Emeralda will be teaching, and this is called Karma Leveling.
Yes.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Well, Phil, as you know, most people today know that karma is, we seem to think that karma is just a collection of stuff. Well, what it is just the law. It is cause and effect. If you have created a lot of bad cause and effect, you want to do things to adjust that, do things to level it, as we like to say. And this plays right into our couple classes and the instruction that we have for both men and women. And I can give you an example out of my own life, which I am not at all hesitant to give, Phil.
All right, well, when you say karma leveling, that's a very spiritual thing, right?
Absolutely, yes. But there are physical actions that we can take to change the people that we are.
And well, all right, when you say out of your own life, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean, Phil, is that I have been for many years, like yourself perhaps, like other men, abusive to my wife. I was very abusive to her. in the ways that I spoke to her about her looks, in the ways that I spoke to her about how she kept our home, in ways that she kept herself. And it was hurtful and it was harmful. Like most men who abuse women, I was sort of caught in a cycle. I'm sure you've found yourself in that cycle.
Well, when you say a cycle of abuse, we're talking here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. When you say a cycle of abuse, what do you mean?
Well, a cycle of abuse. Where
are you talking about physical?
Well, I'm talking about those things that hurt, those things that damage, those things that traumatize, and those things that bruise and leave a woman changed for the rest of her life. Early on in our marriage, before I got my eyes open, Phil, in a lot of different ways, I would talk to my wife, Emerald. I would say to her that I thought she was over made up. We'd be going out for a very big evening, and I'd say, you've got to scrub that off and do it all over again on makeup and the way she presented herself that I'm sure she'd worked very, very hard on. I would say to her that her cooking, what she put in front of me to eat, I couldn't eat it. I wouldn't eat it. And I would say hurtful things like that, that don't even feed it to the dog, things like this. I found that abuse...
Well, did you physically abuse your wife?
That is a question that's irrelevant, because we abuse our wives in ways that we have not even yet recognized. We abuse our wives, Phil, in ways that are every bit as brutal as if you read about Rick James, the singer who would put a cigarette out on his girlfriend or press a hot, my understanding was a crack pipe.
Well, he tortured the woman, yeah. That was, we talk about Rick James, that was a long time ago, you know.
Well, it was a long time ago, but I'm saying that it was the kind of torturous behavior and treatment of a woman that I engaged in.
But you did not physically abuse,
I abused her in every bit as much of a painful way as any man that would press a hot crack pipe against a woman's face. And that's what Rick James did.
And you feel that you were as guilty?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I own that. And I have done things and taken steps. And that's why I'm excited about talking to you and your audience this evening about what we call our karma leveling. It's very difficult, but it's also extremely rewarding to allow a woman to regain some of her life. And when it is your wife or your girlfriend, in our workshops, it's something as simple as the man simply standing in as relaxed a pose as he possibly can. We have them stand on a yoga mat. We have them stand in their bare feet. But the man will stand there. We have him relax. And we tell the wife or the girlfriend to proceed. And they are then entitled. And again, this is a very physical exercise, Phil. It is a bit like Tai Chi, but they bring their hand around and they will impact the man's face as hard as they can. Why do we do that?
It's a slap.
It's a slap, but it has there is a Tai Chi and isometric aspect to it. I'm speaking to men and women who want to be something more than their neighbors. They want to be something more than the girls that they see at TGIFs. They want to be something more than the guys they see engaged in their pointless lives. When you want to level the karma as a man and as a woman, this is what we feel is the best thing.
And all right, you call this karma leveling. What we're talking about here, though, Dean, is that the man stands there and allows the woman to slap him as hard as she can across the face.
As we developed it in our home. This is something that I do on a regular basis. And when I say I do it, Phil, I feel it's an action for me. I will say to Emeralda, I want to level some karma. I want to expiate some karma. And she nods. She understands. I will get comfortable. I'll get into loose-fitting clothing, standing in my bare feet. And she will warm up a little bit, do some isometrics, and then bring her hand as fast as she can. And like a golf club, Phil, it is hand speed. if you've ever played golf, you know it's very important, golf club speed.
Well, yeah, golf club in terms of impact. What you're talking about here is making impact with the man's face as hard as you possibly can, right?
Well, the woman.
All right, the woman is smacking the man as hard as she can. Is she learning this kind of hand speed or arm speed?
Well, these are exercises that she can do, isometric exercises. But the point is this. In order for us as men to finally level that karma between ourselves and women, to finally pay for so much of the abuse that we have dished out over the years, so much of the pain that we have put on our women, anywhere from the insults to, yes, the physical abuse. The only way to begin to even remotely make up for that is to engage in this karma leveling, which is the assault. It is an assault, a physical striking of the face by the woman.
And the man stands there, as you say, as relaxed as he can. So I'm imagining he's not, you know, here's what I find a little hard. He becomes a very passive recipient of this.
That is correct, yes.
All right. And this is a regular ongoing thing. Does it ever end?
Well, if you look at the thousands of years that men have abused women, and the thousands and millions of years that men have ruled this world in probably less than an effective way, a lifetime for one man is not that difficult.
How often are you standing there and your wife is smacking you across the face?
Well, it's generally her call, but in our marriage, I have always been the one to offer, what we call offer. That is, I will say, I want to offer today, so I will go in the backyard or someplace where there's a lot of room and stand there, and you have to become at peace, and I smile. I smile because it helps relax me, but I also know that the smile gives her just that much more anger because it looks like I'm smirking, and that makes her hit me, brings that arm around faster. You see.
So, are you smiling to provoke more violence? What I'm hearing here, Dean, is a violent act that is now being visited on you or on any man by a woman, and I don't know how that helps the abuse cycle.
It helps the abuse cycle by leveling the karma, as I was saying, because men were abusive, and now women can reapply. And when you are relaxed and you give that smirk, you would be surprised that she is going to bring a lot more speed, more hand speed to the act, and it carries forward a lot better.
When you smirk, are you doing that on purpose?
I originally started smiling because it was relaxing, but when you smirk at the woman, like, you almost give her a look like there's no way you can hurt me. And I will tell you this, I have been hit by my wife in the last year, probably at least once a day.
And 365 times she smacked you across the face like this.
That is correct. And each time I feel that I am paying her back more and more for the violence I did to her self-esteem when I told her she looked like a pig, when I said that her makeup looked like a retarded woman put it on, when I said that the food she served me, I wouldn't feed that slop to a cow. All horrible things. Horrible things that I did to her.
All right, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, as we talk about the couple retreat they're having and this thing called karma leveling. And Dean says that allowing your wife to beat you not only empowers women, but helps your marriage. But is it not abuse? And for a man to stand there, and he says he gives her a smirk just before she brings the hand across to make her angrier and make the force of her slap across his face even all the more painful. Would you ever allow your wife or girlfriend to hit you? And if you're a woman in the audience, do you feel this is something that go a long way toward leveling the karma, as he says, and equalizing men and women? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As we get back here with Dean Wheeler on this Friday night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You're talking, and we have Dean Wheeler with us from the Northern California Holistic Center. You're talking about, Dean, this exercise where women will beat their men, and by that I mean they slap their men as hard as they can across the face as a way of leveling karma. Are you recommending this for couples? You're recommending this for couples with no problems.
Absolutely. I think that couples that are starting out in their marriages, couples that may not have the problem of abuse in their marriage, I can tell you, you will. I don't want to. There comes a time in every marriage, Phil, and it, even if you've been married for 50 years and you've never once raised your hand to your wife, there will come a time when you will let out with a string of expletives. You will call her a pig and a beast. You may close your fist up and see how far you can lift her up off the floor. I've heard these things, Phil.
You're kidding.
No, I am not kidding.
Even a couple that is doing wonderfully well, or even a couple that isn't all that physical with each other, you're saying it's going to happen.
It absolutely is going to happen. We've got to head it off. And I say to any couple listening right now that our way of karma leveling, where you allow the man the man stands there and you as the woman hit him as hard as you can across the face. And you as the man, you spark at her. And that's all it takes. That is thousands of years of the roles that have made us into the people that we are. And there was a story here, Phil, not too long ago in San Francisco. A woman had shot her husband. He had been, he wasn't cheating on her, but he was involved in a business deal that she did not like. She didn't like the people. He told her he was going to go ahead with it anyway. And if she didn't like it, she could walk out. And she took a shotgun just as he was packing up all the legal papers, put them in his briefcase, and was going to the bank to secure the loan. And she shot him as he was going out the front door. That's a couple that could have used our karma leveling. Can you imagine if that woman had been allowed to simply hit that man as hard as she could across the face daily? That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know, man. She's a murderous individual. That sounds like something that she's going to engage in a murderous, that's a person who's unbalanced, you know? And I don't know that that's going to help.
Well, that's where you're wrong. It will help. Yes, it will help. You think it will not help the broken mind, the murderous mind. Yes, it will. And I can tell you, Phil, we think we live around normal people. But again, no matter how long people are married, sooner or later the man is going to take his fists, close them up, and begin to work on her a little, what we call working on her.
How do you know the woman is not going to do that?
The woman will only strike the man if she is given societal permission to do that. We're giving her that permission.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Women striking men, women hitting men as hard as they can in order to get back some of their own power in this world. Here is Betty in Naples, Florida. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Betty.
Hi, I'm just absolutely stunned. It sounds like this is a sadistic individual who's trying to minimize his own guilt by giving his wife a chance to get some payback. I mean, he expects her to stand there, take his abuse, knowing that soon it'll be her turn. Man, I don't understand. This is how you engage in a loving relationship? I mean, did your wife know this coming into the relationship? Did she know it was going to be like this?
Well, my wife knew that she was going to be married to a modern American man, which means she's going to be abused at some point. I don't know if she was aware to what extent, but you know, perhaps from your own experience, Betty, a man
you're
is sooner or later going to look at you.
You're a bully. This is violence. This is a sadistic and masochistic.
My wife
relationship.
I'm not hitting her. She's hitting me. I'm allowing her payback by slapping me as hard as she can once a day. And by doing that...
And by doing that, you feel like she's getting her due, her payback.
Yes. From me calling her a pig. And Betty, I don't know, you're probably very happy, but sooner or later, your husband's going to lay into you the same way.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Dean Wheeler.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. You had an observation to make based on the last caller?
Well, I thought it was very interesting, Phil, that lady called me a bully, and I admit I was a bully. But she did not want to bring herself to call Emeralda violent. Why? Women are not used to creating a healthy environment with their own physicality. And when a man is deserving, as ultimately all men are sooner or later, of that physical violence...
I got a real problem with that, you know.
With what?
I got a real problem with you saying sooner or later every man is deserving of physical violence because sooner or later every man is going to be physically abusive.
May I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Have you ever been physically abusive to a woman?
No.
Why do I think you're lying?
Mr. Wheeler, don't go there, okay?
Phil, I'm sorry.
That's a rude question. Why do I think you're lying? Why do I think you're lying? Why do I think that you haven't been physically abusive? You've only described emotionally abusing your wife.
That is far more destructive than any physical abuse. What I did to my wife was far more destructive. Calling her a pig. Telling her that her cooking...
No, I'm sorry. I don't necessarily go with that. Now, you brought up some examples.
I'm bringing up examples so that you and your listeners understand. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, do you think they'd still be together right now if Maria Shriver was empowered to go up to Arnold Schwarzenegger and to hit him across that, and excuse me for editorializing, to hit him across that ugly, ugly Eastern European Cro-Magnon head? Do you think that Elliot Spitzer and his wife still would be doing better?
They're still together.
They're still together, but are they having relations? I don't know. And I bet you that were she allowed a karma leveling to slap his ugly face, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are interesting. They look to be happy. And I am a strong believer that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton engage in this, that she slaps his face as much as she can because... they look as if they are engaging in that kind of leveling.
And I don't know why. Why do you think them and not the others?
I think she is slapping his face on a regular basis because that woman would not be able to survive another day without taking out some kind of physical payback on, and I know I'm speaking of an ex-president, of a slob like that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You also mentioned here James McGreevy in your... in your brochure.
Well, James McGreevy and his wife, Dina, he admitted to being a homosexual. Can you imagine the violence inside that woman when she heard that? I'm just saying that women have a chance to express the violence that is welling up inside of them like a volcano. And if I were her and my husband came to me and said, I happen to be a homosexual, I would commit an act of violence that would probably kill him. So this is something that allows them to express that without killing the man.
877-876-PHIL. Boy, when you bring up killing the man, that to me, that scares me, because that means somewhere along the line, something can get out of hand. Here is Mark in Indianapolis on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, how's it going, Phil?
Hi, good.
I just don't understand how you would say that every typical man will beat a woman at some point. You know, it makes no sense to me.
It may not make any sense to you, but sooner or later when you're living with a woman, it's going to happen.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm 24 years old. I've been married for years.
How can you say that?
Never.
How can I say that?
On my wife. Never.
Not yet. Not yet.
No.
Well, how do you? Why would you say that this guy is destined to put his hands on his wife?
Right now, he hasn't done it, but he's a 24-year-old man, which means he's got a lot of life left, and there's going to be a lot of situations where he finally can't stand it any longer.
No. See, there's
what does that mean?
Me and you. I'm a real man. Okay, I work my problems out with my wife. I talk
right now.
Communication is
right now. Right now. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Mark.
That's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong.
Your wife comes home one night and says to you that she's been having an affair with a meter reader or some bum that reads the gas meter. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you're going to strike her, but I am saying you're going to get closer to that point.
No.
Now you forgive her, and now you say, all is forgiven, and let's continue on. Now, about a year later, you find her with a gardener. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're coming up with these scenarios that are designed to just piss somebody off.
Mark says that he can deal with anything without being violent. I'm telling him he's wrong.
That's right.
And then a year later, she's in bed with a black guy. Now
okay,
how do you feel?
What does that mean, man?
That's when you should have never got married.
Well, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Well, see, your karma leveling is just trying to make yourself look good because you beat your wife. You just think it's okay for her to put her hands on you.
I've never touched my wife. I've called her a pig.
Have you physically? You keep saying you've never physically abused your wife.
I don't
know. I've never physically abused.
I don't. Have you ever slapped her?
I've slapped her. Yes. That's not physically abusing her.
Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And not only that, but you're saying in your karma leveling class that the woman slaps the man.
Exactly, yes. We don't consider that abusive. That's the use of the open hand.
You've slapped your wife and you don't think that's abuse?
No, I don't.
Well, I can tell you, yes, it is.
You're crazy.
You guys, wasn't that funny? What slid off my cracker? I want to write that down. What did you say?
Never mind.
Well, I'm just going to...
You're a wuss.
I'm going to tell you something, Mark. That when you come home one day and you see her in bed with your Jewish boss...
Why are you saying such racist, inflammatory things?
Because I think you're reading
it the
right way.
Here's my deal with...
Am I reading you the right way, Mark?
...home with a black guy in bed. I have a mixed father. Okay? That doesn't bother me. You can say all that you want, but your karma leveling is just to try to make yourself feel better for beating your wife.
I don't beat my wife.
You've slapped her in the face.
And she slaps me in the face. I've allowed the karma leveling. My wife slaps me in the face to level my karma.
You make no sense. It's a cop-out.
No. If you let a woman slap you across the face, then you are earning reprieve from the times you beat her.
And what if you've never beaten her? What if you've never physically abused your wife?
So you think it's okay for her to put her hands on you?
It's a healthy thing for a woman to be able to engage in, to slap a man across the face so hard that it brings blood to one of his eyes.
That's a healthy thing, huh?
Explain to me how that's healthy.
Because most women are never allowed to express that kind of aggression. Most women must sit and, excuse me for saying this, sit and suck on it, as we say in the military, right? I mean, I was never in the military, but...
Okay, so sit there and suck on the fact that you beat your wife, and now she's going to beat you. I mean, how do you make that right?
Apparently, you weren't listening. That's what the plan is. I stand there in loose-fitting clothes and allow her to slap me.
All right, so, and then eventually she's going to be all slapped out, I guess, and you'll feel that you guys are even, and she won't be angrier.
Well, it depends. You want to smirk so that she really gets in a good smack, but yes.
Sooner or later, she doesn't want to hit you anymore.
Exactly.
All right, Mark, thank you very much, and best of luck on your new marriage. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You were talking to a young man there of 24 who said to you he's never raised his hands to his wife, and he never will, and you said, yes, he will. And I just wonder, you know, how does a young guy like that go away from this phone call? Is he thinking to himself, my God, no matter what I do, I'm going to be smacking my wife?
That's why we're giving them hope, Phil. We're saying to them, yes, you're going to, sooner or later, put your hands on your wife physically, as I know I will, or at least I thought I would. When we came up with karma leveling, now I know I'm okay. And if he can take this class, if he and his wife take this kind of tuition, Phil, if they get involved in our workshops, get involved in our two-a-days, there's a good chance he won't wind up beating her half to death.
Why do you think that that's going to be the case?
He's 24. He sounds working class. I'm just putting some things together.
24, working class.
Midwest. I mean, there's just some things in his background.
877-876-PHIL. Boy, talk about profiling. 877-876-7445 with Brian. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Brian, go ahead.
We don't profile.
Hey, this guy right here, he has some serious issues. I mean, he's like projecting his lifestyle onto other people and trying to generalize everybody. This is crazy. He's like morally and psychologically deficient.
I'm speaking of men.
When I first heard your show, I thought this guy was a joke.
I know. Well, I could say the same thing about you, sir. Couldn't I?
What's that?
I could say you sound like a joke, couldn't I?
Well, I guess, I don't know, thousands of people listening to you right now. I mean, I would guess that they would all think that you need help.
And what they're getting from me is a way to get around the eventuality of you beating your wife up. Are you married?
Let me tell you a little back history about me. I've been together with my wife for 12 years. She cheated on me, and I never laid a hand on her, nor did I ever curse at her or tell her anything. It's called a healthy relationship. You forgive and you move on. And if you have problems, then you go seek psychiatric help. You go and see a therapist. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Have somebody lay hands on you? You're in trouble.
Why is he in trouble if that man...
You're in trouble.
Are you trying to tell me that your wife cheated on you and you went ahead and said, hi, honey, and you finished your bowl of cereal? Is that what you're doing?
What I'm saying is that if you're laying hands on somebody because you don't know how to control yourself or that you don't know how to stifle your vocabulary towards your wife and speak to somebody in a decent manner, then you got some serious issues there, bud.
I think you have serious issues if your wife cheats on you and you stand there like a dope and you ask, where's the alphabet? Now, what you do is you allow that woman to beat you up. Not beat you up, but smack you in the face.
She already cheated on him. Well, how much more physical pain do you think this guy is supposed to go through?
Well, she cheated on him for reasons. I mean, I don't know what. Why did she cheat on you?
In your twisted world,
a dull clod or something. I don't know.
In your twisted world, in reality, I should smack my wife then for doing that.
No,
that's what you're saying.
Your wife did that because this would have saved you a lot of heartache. If your wife and you had engaged in the karma leveling early on in your marriage, she never would have cheated on you. She'd be belting you across the face once a day, and that would have gotten, as we say in the parlance, that would have gotten her cookies.
We live in a postmodern society where women have.
What are you talking about, man?
And the whole thing is that if a woman what you're saying, your definition, I should be able to hit her.
No. I'm saying that because of the abuse women have taken, they're trying to get payback. So your wife cheats on you, this, that. But it's not very healthy. It's healthier if you stand there in loose-fitting clothing and sandals. Do you have any flip-flops?
Listen, you're laughing, but your wife,
where's your wife right now? Where is she?
She's a nurse. You know what? She's working, actually. Where's your wife? She's probably stuck in a closet somewhere.
She's working all right. pretty convenient job to have, I'll tell you that.
Okay, I think you've really rubbed it in on this guy enough, all right? And you're saying that this man's marriage would have not gone through what it went through if the guy had allowed his wife to smack him?
I'm saying that they would have had a much healthier marriage. This guy's laughing, and his wife is, quote, a nurse, end quote.
Well, you know, Dean, you can't judge anybody by way of a phone call. Listen, Brian, thank you very much. Best of luck to you. You can't judge people just by picking a phone up and talking to them.
That man said, my wife is a nurse, and she's not here right now, and she's cheated on me, but what have I got to worry about? Wow. You didn't hear that?
Yes, I heard it.
All right, I'm going to give you an example. Emeralda, honey, come here for a minute. This is my wife, Emeralda. Honey, let's do a leveling. Let's just do some category leveling. Now listen to me, Phil, as I take this. And by the way, honey, I just talked to a man whose wife cheated on him, and they don't believe in karma leveling. Is that all right? Okay, let's do category one, Phil. This is the category.
Is she going to hit you?
She's going to do a category one. We don't call it hitting. All right, as hard as you can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Thank you. Oh, that hurt. But do you know, and she has got a, hi, I love you too. She's got a smile on her face right now. God, that hurts. God, that hurts.
She just slapped you.
Yes.
As hard as she could.
Yes.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Why don't you take a break there, Dean? We're going to be right back. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler with us talking about karma leveling. Women at their workshops are allowed to slap their husbands as hard as they can across the face in order to give women the kind of physical aggression and aggressive behavior that might very well save their marriage. Next hour on the Phil Hendry Show, Larry Grover talking with us about the political scene. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That was said off the air, sir.
I was said off the air, Mr. Henry, but you've done a good job here in vilifying me, calling me a wife abuser.
You know, if you want to say that, I didn't say it. It was something that was said at a sporting event I was at.
Mr. Henry, ladies and gentlemen, was talking to his producer during the commercial break, and said that when you were at a sporting event and there were 5 black basketball players, the man behind you said, how are you going to beat a spade flush?
Yeah.
Well, you were laughing.
I was telling Jason about something that happened 40 years ago when I was at a basketball closed circuit game, and the guy made that comment about the Milwaukee Bucks, yeah.
All right. Now, that's what we call karma leveling.
Well, or is it really karma leveling? Because now I'm pissed at you for having taken that out of context.
Well, you should watch what you're saying. And you know.
Well, I'm not a racist. I'm repeating what a guy said behind me. I don't feel bad about saying that at all. Okay, so 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hello, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Boy, oh boy.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just wanted to start by saying this guy's kind of an idiot. There's no place for physical violence in any relationship. Whether it be a friendship, a marriage.
Unrestrained, yes, of course, I agree. I totally agree with you, Joe. But this is voluntary therapy. It's not even violence. It is a man saying to a woman, it's your turn, honey.
And how is slapping somebody not violent? And the act of slapping and hitting in any fashion is violent.
Yes, except for one thing. In a violent act, you are committing that violence against someone that doesn't want you to commit that violence against them. It doesn't matter if they want it or not.
It's still violent. Aggression, violence, there's no place for it in a relationship. That's like saying, well, I only smacked my child. You know, it wasn't a child.
That's a child. That's different. That we don't want to reinforce violent behavior, but between two adults, you heard what I said, Maria Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Don't you think that family would still be together had she been allowed to knock that ugly? I would. Wouldn't you want to?
Well, now you're just talking. Well, what would you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, that's not therapeutic. If we're talking about what is healthy as opposed to, ooh, I'd really want to.
Well, I didn't say, ooh, I'd really want to. What I said was, if you look at that guy, Schwarzenegger, he looks like he's got one coming. More than one. Wouldn't you agree with that, Joe? And if Maria Shriver had been allowed to smack that ugly ape around, they might have a family still.
Ugly ape. No, you sound like you got
I
a personal...
That they wouldn't have any kind of relationship if she was smacking him around. Not to mention, I mean, but I don't know about you, but my mom raised me better than to hit women, for one. I mean, I've been raised my whole life.
It's a woman hitting a man. It's a woman hitting a man. It's not a where are you guys getting this man hitting a woman? I didn't say that. It is a woman hitting a man. And the other thing?
Well, you said you slapped your wife the same as she slapped you.
I did a long time ago, I did. Here, watch. She'll slap me again. Hit me again, honey. Hit me.
Oh, so.
Phil Hendry.
Bitch.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows can't go, won't go, shouldn't go, couldn't go. And maybe we'll give them a break one of these days. You know, every now and again, they can come in and watch us do our show. And if I gave you a laundry list of the individuals that have come in to watch my show, that have knelt at our feet, that have washed our feet, that have, I don't want to start sounding as if I'm Jesus, but...
compared to them.
True, compared to them. You wouldn't believe it, so I won't do it, because you won't believe it.
Glenn Beck.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show every night. We have archived radio going back of the Phil Hendry Show many, many, many years. Daily podcast delivered to your iPod. And you can sign up for that. You can get our classic Phil podcast. As a matter of fact, we have sample clips on YouTube. The Real Bud Dickman is our YouTube channel. But if you go to our homepage, right now there on the homepage, you see a clip from a show last week featuring Steve Bozell and discussion of The Rapture. So if you don't know what Phil TV looks like, go on over there and take a look. There we are at the, right in front of the El Pacifico. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Larry Grover is going to come on here in just a moment. And we are going to talk a little bit about his plan to run for the state senate here in California. But this is not going to be about local politics, so don't worry. I want to get a feel for the national scene. I want to get a feel for the actual place, for instance, that people like Sarah Palin, Larry, are going to play in national politics. What do you think about her? What is up with her? I mean, is there a spot? Are they just...
I think there is, yeah.
Are they just being polite?
No, I think, obviously, Sarah Palin has a constituency that is significant. There's no question about it. When I had first approached, before I even decided that I was going to run for the state senate in the state of California, I had actually gone to Bart Herson, who was our state treasurer, and I had the state party treasurer, and I said, how can I help get Sarah Palin up and running financially? He said, well, she's doing well, but everybody needs to raise money. And that's when we had come up with these sort of a tongue-in-cheek, but recognizing there has been a great tragedy, we came up with the idea of the debris globe, which we're now using to fund my campaign. And the reaction, Phil, has been, I think, overstated by people such as yourself and other talk show hosts. And I want to rein that in just a little bit, okay?
Well, let's talk about this debris globe. And for people who are just tuning in, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I wish we could talk about this in the... I'm not here to ask your opinion of it. I'm here to sell them so we can fund our campaign. How did we get to the point where we're debating that they exist, Phil? And we don't think they're in bad taste. We feel that they are a way of making a statement about Larry Grover, and that I care about people, and that I'm going to care about people. Until the day I die, I'm going to care about people, whether I'm a state senator or not.
All right, well, we have to tell people what these debris globes are. Are they souvenirs?
Well, what they are, they're paperweights that you put on the desk, and they are, I think, a wonderful idea. A guy by the name of Greg Jetson came to me with them. He develops a variety of novelties. He has a company over here in Culver City. They do this kind of thing over there in that warehouse section on I don't know if you know the area, Phil, off of Venice.
Yeah, I know where it is.
All right. Well, there's a lot of different businesses in there. And what it is a globe, much like a snow globe. When you shake it up, you get, and I describe this to you. And
yeah, but describe it to my audience.
Well,
because if you have to describe it to my audience, I'd like to know what they think.
Fine, I'm not worried about that, Bill. You take the globe, you shake it up, and you have, instead of snow, you have this debris. And it's from the different storms that we've had. And
no, that's not what you said to me, Larry.
That's essentially what we're talking about, though.
You said that this is debris from the tornadoes.
Yes, the storms that we've had.
Well, you're reluctant to use the word. I just want to ask you this question.
Bill, I'll answer it before you ask it. No, I'm not ashamed of the debris globe. I think with the proper positioning by individuals like you, I don't have to take a pillorying from the public. And I think what the problem that we had is that individuals in the media, the first thing they want to do is they want to see how can we make Larry Grover bleed today. And this has been a game they've been playing since I was chairing Conservatives of Kern County. How do we make Larry Grover bleed and crawl today? And they work overtime at it.
Larry, I you may be right, but by the same token, a debris globe that is a snow globe, except it's got bits of wood?
There are pieces of actual debris from this area that we put into each of these globes. And I guess that's in bad taste, too. Maybe I should get your permission?
Well, if you want to be sarcastic.
No, I'm not being sarcastic, but I would like to describe this without being judged.
Go ahead.
The debris globe, ladies and gentlemen, we are selling these for $15. They are a like a snow globe, except when you shake it up, there's bits of wood and pieces of debris that fly around, and the little scape, if you will, the globescape is a town, okay, and some of the buildings are falling down because of this storm. Because what you're doing when you shake the globe up is you are approximating the effects of, you know, a big wind.
Of a tornado.
Yes, of a tornado, but you're shaking it up. And
what is flying around? You got debris?
We've got a
have you got one, bud?
Yeah, is it like a roof?
A roof? Well, then, yeah, there's a rooftop.
A rooftop, huh?
There's a part of a rooftop, if you can have him do it right. And
well, there's a rooftop, and then there's a car, or what is that? It's a
not a whole car. It's a tire. It's different things.
Okay, so we've got parts of a house and a tire. Now, you know that we've just had a part of our country that has gone through a horrifying trauma with these tornadoes. You propose to fund your campaign for the State Senate of California selling debris globes, as you call them.
Yes.
That somebody takes and puts on their desk and does what? I think I'll shake this up and remind myself of just what happened in the Midwest.
I think I'll take this and shake it up and look at a piece of American history. I think I'll take this and shake it up and look at what a tornado can do. I'll shake it, which I, if you say it that way, you're into a whole other problem. What I meant when I said I was going to shake it, I don't mean what you're thinking. I mean the globe. And
I'm not thinking anything.
Well, I, Mr. Henry, the conversations I've been having with you, it's as if you're trying to think the worst. You take it and you shake it and you're looking at a piece of the news. Now,
why would you come up with this idea?
Because people will buy it. Because it is a novelty. Because I think people want to have a piece of this terrible event and almost control it. I know that I wanted to. I wanted to say, how can I do something? How can I control this weather? How can I control these tornadoes? If I make a debris globe, I can stop it. I can, you know, you shake it, and then I can put it on the desk and stop it.
And oh, Larry, that may well be. I think
that may well be. Are you now the judge and jury?
No, I'm just saying that I believe you when you tell me that you believe you have a novel idea. Yes, it's a novel idea. But the idea that you feel you can control this is somehow therapeutic.
I believe it can be very therapeutic for a lot of people who were afraid of these storms and wanted to do something even though it wouldn't do anything at all. For those people in the Midwest.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Larry Grover here about the state of Republican politics, the conservative movement, the state of his campaign, more importantly, the state of the national slate, the individuals that will be running for the presidency on the national side, who is going to make it, who isn't. We've been talking a little bit about Sarah Palin. And you wanted to initially throw in and raise money for her nationally, and then you decided to go for state office. But this idea, this debris globe idea, where you have this globe of debris from the tornado, was originally an idea that you were going to use for her.
Yes, it was going to be a money raiser for Sarah Palin, and I saw it as a way to infuse a very, very quick amount of cash. We have a... Phil, whether you want to believe it or not, or whether your audience wants to believe it or not, and I suspect there's a lot more people out there listening that are on my side and are a little befuddled, Phil, at the reception you're giving me here.
Well, that may well be.
I'll just say that I think that people want a piece of a novel, novelty and a piece of history, and they want to know, can I get a debris globe? This is a shake it up. It's not a snowstorm. It's the whole thing that went on. And
with little bits of rooftop and tires and...
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And you're afraid to use the word tornado.
I don't need to use the word tornado. If you shake up a debris globe and you see someone's roof fly by... God.
Larry, I apologize. I don't want to piss you off, but I think it's in very bad taste. Okay?
Yeah, I got that. But what you don't understand is that our intent was to create something. I need cash, all right? Let me be as honest as I can. I've got to get... You can't run for dog catcher in this country unless you've got, bottom line, $1 million. $1 million. $1 million these days is not that much money, but it still is a difficult thing to raise when you don't have the presence that a lot of guys have. Now, I'm starting out. I need to infuse cash into my campaign, and the debris globe was the idea. You may say it's in bad taste, and that's you saying, I hope that your campaign dies, Larry. Or you can say, it's an interesting idea, and maybe I live one more day.
Oh, don't be dramatic, okay?
I'm not being dramatic.
Just Phil Hendry saying that your debris globe is in bad taste is not going to kill your campaign.
I think it can kill my campaign in a significant way. People are not going to want to buy it because they don't understand what it is, because they think it's in bad taste, because the talk show host wants to be seen as a good guy, so you decided to destroy my life.
God, I'm not destroying your life, okay?
Well, if I'm running for office...
I'm pointing out that I think one way that you have of raising money is not a good idea, and I don't personally think it's a tasteful idea. 877-876-7445 on the Phil Hendry Show, but I can ask my audience. Larry Grover is selling what he calls debris globes. These are snow globes, only instead of snow that you shake up in the globe, you shake it up and it's debris from the tornado. The roof of a house, a tire flying by, that he says, if you own one of these debris globes, you own a piece of history. 877-87, and he's using the sale of these to run for state office on the Republican side. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back right after this.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, every night we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, with live video of our show, Phil TV and HD, and podcasts every day. Get a backstage pass and find out what it's really all about. With me here is Larry Grover. He is with Conservatives of Kern County. He's going to be running for state senate. And, Larry, I want to mention Trent Rayburn.
Yeah, I know. Trent's a young man, a good young man, and he worked for our campaign. And it's unfortunate that he made the wrong decision.
And well, you fired him, right?
I had to let him go, given the fact that we were under a time crunch, yeah.
Well, this is a young man that went back to the Midwest, to Missouri and to Alabama, to collect some of this debris for these debris globes.
That was primarily his job. I also wanted him to meet with some of the agencies there. It wasn't all about him collecting debris for my debris globes. And I think what you're intimating here is that all I got anybody doing is running around and making these debris globes. These are novelties, yes.
Well, this guy went on a trip to the area where the tornadoes were and collected this debris. Right?
Yes, he did. And he met with the Red Cross and other officials.
And now he stayed around to help with some of the search and rescue, and he was fired.
Let's back up if we could, because you have a very fascinating way of putting things. And again, Phil, I say this, you have a fascinating way of putting something so it looks like that. It looks like I am the Yorkshire Ripper. You know,
Now, I'm not making you look. Did you fire the guy?
I fired him because he was due back here by a certain date, and he decided to stay back there. And you say he was helping with search and rescue. I don't know what he was doing.
Well, that's what I was told, not only by him but by other people there. He was helping with some of the search and rescue, as well as helping with some of the a cleanup. And he gets fired because he's not back here in time.
As far as I was concerned, he was down there fooling around doing something. I asked him to go down there, get some of these twigs and pieces of roof. But the way you put it just now, as I am talking, I know that I sound like an ass, and that was a skillful thing for you to do.
So you're telling me that the audience perception that may be of you, that you are an opportunist and that you fired this young man for doing the right thing, that's my fault?
I don't know what the audience perception, whatever it is, I'm saying is unfair. If it paints me as some kind of an ass, that you decided we need to have a real jackass today, so we'll make Larry Grover.
No, sir, not at all. But a debris globe, Larry, if you were objective, I think you would understand why I am reacting the way I'm reacting. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Justin in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Justin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover. Go ahead.
It is terrible that you have some kids collecting debris over there, but people are over there trying to actually help and search and rescue everybody.
I didn't have him just collecting debris. He went there to meet with the Red Cross. And he went there to, you know, these are things that you got to do. What were you doing? It's interesting you're going to judge me.
I can't really do anything. What were you doing?
Oh, you can't
do anything. You were having people over there collecting debris.
Well, what are you doing? How are you helping?
Well, how are you helping?
I had him cleaning up.
Collecting debris for your debris globe.
Well, what were you doing, Mr. Hendry, and this caller, this guy in Pennsylvania? You're closer to it than I am. What were you doing? Were you repairing lottery machines? Were you going on your route emptying the change out of Coke machines? What do you do?
First of all, I went down to New Jersey and helped the people that my friends that went over there and helped. I helped them pack. I helped them get ready for everything. What did you do?
What? You helped your friends who helped them? What does that mean? Well, that sounds so they don't even know how to pack their own suitcases?
Larry, the man answered your question. The man answered your question. So what did you do?
I'm here running for state office in the state of California. We're one of the biggest states in the nation. We got big, big problems here, too. And I'm here running for office. And
meanwhile, sending a guy back there to get debris for a debris globe.
Let me ask this guy. Your name's Justin, right? Is that your name? Justin, right? I guess this guy's retarded.
Don't use the word retarded, all right? Let's take a break.
Well, I'm going to ask you, Justin, wherever you are, Justin, I've got a debris globe for you. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
What does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means, that if that guy knew he was getting a debris globe, he wouldn't have hung up.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Sandoval. Go ahead, Sandoval. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. My name is Sandoval. Because I think that it is absolutely ridiculous that they're trying to sell these snow globes. It's just too soon. And my
it's not a snow globe. It's not a snow globe, sir. It's a debris globe.
Well, okay, but essentially it's a snow globe. Now, let me ask you this. My brother is not found. Now, if we were to consider that his resting place was in these debris, isn't that a little intrusive on someone's
final resting place? What do you mean your brother's not found? What do you mean your brother's not found? What's that mean?
Well, he lives in Joplin.
Have you decided to go and look for him?
I'm sorry?
Have you decided to go and look for him?
What do you mean he's decided? They've got people there looking.
Why aren't you there? Your brother's not missing. Your brother's not missing. I'll tell you what. Do you want a debris globe or don't you?
Why don't you just quit selling your debris globes? I hope they find your brother, Sandoval. 877-BOY, oh boy. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, man.
Phil Hendry.
He's clowning.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We're back here with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, who is running for a state Senate office. He's a longtime conservative and Republican. One of the ways that he came to fund his campaign is selling what you call debris globes. You were pretty proud of this idea.
Well, I'm still proud of the idea. What I'm not proud of is conservative radio such as yours turning on me and sticking it in my back and breaking it off. And
wait a minute. Hold on for a minute, okay?
And the other conservative hosts like Sean Hannity and Beck and all of these guys get on board. But you are a little bit of a Beau Brummel. You're a loose cannon. Now, what is going on with you? And I'd like to find out from your bosses.
Well, hold the phone here for a minute, man. There is nothing in the talk radio manual that says I gotta look at the talking points of a conservative or the Republican Party, okay?
Well, everybody knows that talk radio is primarily a conservative medium, and that you either get on board and start talking turkey and speaking the language, or you can jump off the train and let somebody else do it. And when you come on here and say that Larry Grover is an opportunist and is hurting people. The debris globe is a way that I can make some money with all these rich Democrats in California.
And it doesn't matter to you. You talked to that kid from Fresno a few minutes ago whose brother is missing.
That's what he says, okay?
Well, why not give him the benefit of the doubt and believe that?
I'll tell you why I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. If his brother was really missing, he'd be in Missouri looking for him. He said that. so he could make me, he said that so he could open up a wider window of opportunity to paint me as the biggest ass going today in the state of California. That's why.
And so you think he's piling on?
Piling on. He's not telling the truth. Let me ask you a question, Phil. What do you think is worse, me selling the debris globe or someone claiming they've got a relative missing and they're not?
I'm not going to get into that discussion with you. I'm simply going to tell you that a debris globe, a snow globe with debris from the tornado, in my opinion, is probably, just as he said, too soon. It's also something that is can be a reminder of something horrifyingly traumatic, and I don't like it. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Patrick in Houston. Go ahead, Patrick. You're on The Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
I was just listening. I don't normally catch this show, but I heard your guest speaking, and I thought that it came across to me as his only concern is getting elected, and he'll use any means possible, regardless of what it does to anybody else.
Well, no, sir, that's not true. I don't want to sell people into slavery. I don't want to abuse women and children. I mean, you know, I'm drawing the line. Now, this was a debris globe. It's going to sell, and it's going to help fund my campaign. I don't
that
know
may be,
what Mr.
But personally, I would prefer that you were running as a Democrat, because to me, that's a very tacky object.
You're telling me that my debris globe is such a low thing that you'd rather distance yourself from me entirely?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I told you.
Well, you know, this is what I mean, and I'm speaking to Patrick, right? Patrick, this is what I mean when I say that talk radio hasn't gotten on board and really gotten in behind conservative candidates. And I can only hope that, well, you can laugh, but Mr. Hendry has been sitting here basically taking a knife to my campaign and gutting it for the last 45 minutes.
I'm not gutting your campaign, but you just heard a man here saying that with this debris globe, you're not winning any friends on the conservative side.
But he hasn't said why, other than it's tacky. So I would say that simply this, Democrats... we know what a Democrat is. I'm not a Democrat. But what I don't have is money. And we've got to raise money. So, Patrick, you'll forgive me if I have to find ways to raise money.
All right, Patrick,
now,
thank you.
I have no problems with you raising money. What I have a problem with is
you're willing to do
anything to raise money.
I believe very much that this country needs to be taken back from Barack Obama, don't you? And I'll do just about anything.
But am I replacing a Barack Obama with someone just as bad?
No. Why? Let me tell you something.
You're willing to take advantage of someone else's problems just so that you can get money, because you're the only person that can possibly save this country.
You say I'm taking advantage of someone else's problems by creating something very unique, a debris globe that when you shake it up,
Yeah, it looks like a tornado.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Oh, I get the concept.
When you shake it up and there's all kinds of rooftops flying around, I don't have bodies flying around. I'm not doing that. What I am doing is I am creating a novelty item. And you think that makes me worse than Barack Obama?
I do. I do, I think Barack Obama would have a good sense not to parade that.
I think that novelty item does. Well, actually, let me rephrase. I don't think your novelty item makes you worse than Obama. I think your willingness to do anything to get money to get in office does.
Let me tell you, our country is in such serious shape, and you tell me if you don't agree with this. Our country is in such serious shape that I would crawl on broken glass to Washington, D.C. to help it. You don't agree with that?
I have no idea whether your crawling on broken glass would help. Let me give you a little background. My father spent 35 years in uniform.
You know what?
I spent seven.
I would eat the peanuts out of blank blank, okay?
What is that supposed to mean?
I just gave him something a little more graphic.
This gentleman, all right, Patrick, you've been in the military. You're retired now, sir?
I'm not retired.
Okay.
I did not serve long enough.
Well, so so this gentleman, Patrick's been in the military. So
I understand that.
So he's obviously written his check up to and including the value of his own life to serve this country. And you're crawling and eating the peanuts out of blank, blank, blank.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm not, Audie Murphy.
Well, you're not only not Audie Murphy, you're pretty crude. First you've got a debris globe, then you're bringing up eating the peanuts out of something. Patrick, I thank you very much, sir, for your call, and thank you for your service to our country on this Memorial Weekend. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. And remember, Memorial Weekend is to honor those who have died in combat, in wars, in defending our country. We do honor our veterans, but we honor on Memorial Weekend more those who have passed on.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Now,
why'd you do that?
Well, you're stealing my thunder. I'm right in the middle of an interview, and there you go, and you're doing a public service announcement for the... What I'm saying is...
You've done nothing but damage your own case.
How do you figure that?
First of all, I've got myself a debris globe. All it is a little bit of debris that's swirling around in some water, and...
No, it's not water. It's supposed to be wind. Hello? God.
All right, but it's water, right?
What do you mean, is it water? I don't understand that.
Do you know how snow globes work?
I know how snow globes work. Yes, I do know how snow globes work. You shake them up and they...
There's water in there, man. It's water. That's what makes it swirl around like that.
You know what? You're lying. Boy, if you're lying to me...
No, it's water!
Well, no one factored that in. So...
Well, have you seen one of your debris globes?
No, I have not. I saw how it's supposed to work. I thought it was just the air made it fly around in there. Hello?
Yeah, you know what, Larry? You know something, man? You're about as dumb a guy.
Hey, watch that, sunshine.
Now, well, you know, if you don't know that, first of all, you got a snow globe, and all right, let me just tell you what you guys are doing. You've got a debris globe that's in water. That's what makes it float around like that. That's number one. Number two... We get this fine man on the air. He's a veteran of the military. He's talking about what it is to actually commit to something. You're saying you'll do anything to help this country, and then you say you'll crawl on broken glass. Well, that's fine. And then you say you'll eat the peanuts out of blank, blank, blank.
Yes, to me, that you're telling me that's not a commitment?
That is a mentally deranged guy. That's a mental case. That's not so much a commitment as it is just some jackass casting around for something desperate to say, so it sounds like he's a patriot. Why don't you just run for public office? Why don't you just do the things that we all can do to help our country? You're sitting here eating the peanuts out of something, crawling on broken glass, and making debris globes. You ain't going to win anything, man.
Boy, you know, this is the second time in about 5 minutes. Hey, man, I'm telling you, you got a standing ovation both times, Phil. Both times, as you have essentially stuck the head of my career into the guillotine and lopped it right off. Thank you very much.
And you're really, really dramatic.
No, I'm not dramatic. I'm not dramatic. What has happened here is you've just weakened the country. Good night.
Well, we got a few more minutes.
Maybe you don't get it. I just hung up.
No, you didn't.
I'm hanging up. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Please support Larry Grover for State Senate, California. What an ass.
Yeah, I'm an ass, all right.
Can't hear that. I hung up. You saying I didn't?
Not yet. You haven't? No.
God. I've got a handset. I don't know how these are working.
What do you... You use a cell phone.
Yeah, hello. You've seen a cell phone, haven't you? Push a button.
Well, the cradle of the phone.
What cradle? Can I do it?
This guy's the stupidest.
I'm hearing all of this, and I'm taking it all down. I got a lawyer, too, you know.
Good for you, man. All right, I tell you what, we'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Will you hang that up, please?
What? I thought I did.
No, you're messing around with it. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry here with Larry Grover. In the last few minutes, as we talk about this debris globe, which I just can't imagine. I would never own one.
You've made it, and I think the unfortunate thing is you've turned it into something almost as if I'm selling pornography to kids. You know, like I'm selling a little baby dolls with skirts and no underwear on them. I'm not doing that at all.
No, I'm just saying your timing is lousy. You've got, in your own history, these Columbine, you know, the Columbine Globe and the 9/11 Globe. Do you want to talk to people about that?
Well, I'll tell you, it takes some guts to bring those up at a time like this.
Well, those are the same. Larry, you had a Columbine Globe that people would shake up and the bodies of kids would be flying out of buildings. You had a...
No, that wasn't... That was the Columbine Globe, yeah.
Okay, and then the 9/11 Globe, you shake it up, and it's like black water comes out as if the entire city's engulfed with smoke. Why?
Because people were into snow globes at that time, and I wanted to come up with new ideas don't mean anything to you. I guess in this country that we are rapidly losing our position in the world of the Chinese... You've got Chinese everywhere, doing everything. There's nothing that we... It used to be, and I say this with all due respect, that when something was made in China, you'd laugh. Now, and I'm trying to... The one area that the Chinese... Do they have to have the snow globe area, too? So what we tried to do is come up with something that was unique.
The snow globe area. So you're trying to tell me you want to corner the snow globe market from the Chinese.
No, Phil, I'm not trying to be funny here.
Well, a lot of the stuff you're saying... Sounds pretty funny to me. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dave in Arlington. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Bill. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to this show since the beginning, and I'm just amazed that this guy could even be for real, using the misfortune of others for his own advantage for a political office.
I haven't contacted anybody. I haven't taken any money from anybody. I haven't taken any property from anyone. What exactly are you referring to?
You're using a debris globe, as you call it.
Yeah.
And the misfortune is many people have lost their homes. They've lost lives. They've lost loved ones. And...
Exactly.
Taking advantage of that situation.
Exactly.
For your own personal gain. And if you would do this, I would have to question, if
California.
You get elected into office, what else would you do to make a dollar for your own personal gain?
You know, this country is almost broke. Wouldn't you want me to do everything I can to make money for our country? Of course
all
you would.
All you've spoken about is make money. Make money.
That's what we need. That's what everybody else is talking about. We're broke. We've got a $12 trillion debt. What, are you kidding?
Absolutely. But
you
we're not going to solve it selling debris globes.
But I'm not trying to solve it selling debris globes. I'm trying to get elected. And if I get elected, I'll do anything I can to pay off the national debt. And I mean
I have not heard you mention one item on your platform other than making money off of debris globes.
I will crawl across hot coal. I'll put my face into a fan if I have to get the money. That's
not going to get any money for this country.
What I'm trying to say to you and the gentleman, Phil, is my commitment. My commitment to this country is such, I'll stick my hand into a garbage disposal. I will endure that kind of pain to pay off the national debt.
So? Well, you're not giving us any specifics, man. You're not saying how you're going to do that. What kind of money? You tell me you're going to crawl across broken glass. You're going to stick your hand in a garbage disposal. Okay?
That is my commitment to this country. Can either one of you gentlemen say that?
Well, we did have a veteran. That man was in uniform.
Yeah?
That's all I need.
You want me to get into the Army? Is that what you want me to do?
You might be more valuable there, Larry, to be perfectly honest with you, because the stuff you're saying here about sticking your hand...
Would either one of you guys, you, Phil, or you, Dave, put your hand into a running garbage disposal for this country?
Absolutely, I would not, although I am retired Marine. And I served my country in Vietnam. I thank you very much.
How old are you?
How old am I? I'm 64 years old.
I'm just checking.
Oh, stop. Listen, Dave, thank you very much, and thank you for your service to our country.
Oh, he said he's a Marine, and you just take his word at that. I said I'll put my hand in a garbage disposal, and you laugh.
But it's an asinine thing to say. Thank you very much, Dave, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. There's Dave with Memorial Weekend coming up.
You know, don't you ever ask yourself, Phil, with Memorial Weekend coming up, don't you ever ask yourself that how many of these guys are real military guys?
I take their word for it. Thank you very much.
You just take their word for it. So that allows them to win the argument. I said to them.
How does it allow them to win the argument?
When I said I'd stick my hand into a running garbage disposal.
You sound like an idiot when you say that, man. It's not getting any. It's not paying off any debt. It's not any kind of an economic plan. It's not any kind of a tax. It's nothing. It's not cutting spending. You're telling me you're devoted to this country. Great. Now, those are some guys there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was in the military. That means that trumps my putting my hand into a garbage disposal because he's in the military.
Yeah, it pretty much does, because those guys are in the military. They have our gratitude. You stick your hand into a running garbage disposal, and all you earn is a straitjacket.
So I'm nuts.
Well, what do you think, man? What do you think? And when you come up with a debris globe, that man was absolutely right. It's an insult to the people that have survived and to the people that have died. And let's just leave it at that, okay?
Well, I got to tell you, I can't. You bring me on this program, and if my career was a Halloween pumpkin, you'd be one of those punk kids running down the street hitting it with a stick.
You want to try and hang up again?
No, I'm not going to try. I am going to hang up. That do it?
Nope.
How about now?
No. All right, folks.
All right, folks. Larry will try and hang up, man.
Yeah, you do that, man. All right, folks. We're going to be back here in the next hour with our news and information hour. Give me that phone.
For what?
I'm going to hang it up. You there. See, that's how you do it.
Yeah, you broke the phone, babe.
So what? We need a new one anyway. All right, coming up next hour, we have our news and information hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And we will be going through what is happening. A reminder that we will not be here on Monday night. It is Memorial Weekend. We will be with our individual show, our Saturday night show, locally in Los Angeles. So join us for that. And join us on the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com for Phil TV in HD, which is where we are right this very moment. Pick up a backstage pass. And also, while you're at it, our shop is open. T-shirts, our best of CDs, our classic shot glass, and our classic Phil Hendry Show coffee mug. It's all available there in the Phil Hendry Show shop. So shop, baby. Hey, Father's Day, man. What you going to do, huh? Let's get it together for Father's Day at the Phil Hendry Show shop on our website, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this show, where truth is our bitch, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And if you don't believe us, just ask them. And of course, on online at philhendryshow.com. This is our news and information hour. Welcome to this news and information hour. And the reason why we say that is because we basically just read the news and kick it around here between myself, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman. Although I'd like you guys to stay on point a little bit here tonight, you know.
Well, most of the time.
Yeah, but a lot of the times you guys are off in left field, man. And last night, I don't know what it was you were talking, one of those stories that we really got off into a tangent that I'd rather not get off into. And again, our website is philhendryshow.com. So if you are listening along this evening, you can also watch. We have our Phil TV in HD video cast. We are like a multimedia extravaganza here on this here show. If you want to, and I say this here show, having been to Catholic school.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right. Anyway, if you want to take a look at what our Phil TV looks like, get a free little look at it, go to our homepage and check out Rapture on Phil TV. That's when we had on Steve Bozell, and he was talking with us about the rapture that never happened. And that's just kind of gone by the wayside, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, man, you know, predicting the end of the world. I think this end of the world prediction stuff, we have to not take it so serious.
Well, we'll never learn, you know.
Well, how are you going to not take it serious? The guy said the world's going to end.
Who cares? I mean, who's the guy that's saying the world's going to end? You know?
Well, it could be like a person like Notre Dame, or I forget how you say that.
Nostradamus.
What is it?
Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
Well, what'd he say?
Who knows what he said? Let me tell you about Nostradamus. I think about 90% of what that guy said, no one understands. No one in their wildest dreams can figure it out. We've imposed a lot of things onto Nostradamus's quatrains, is what they called them, little poems or these little sayings. We've decided that we're just going to overlay things. Oh, that must mean the World Trade Center. Why, Hister? That must mean Hitler. That's the closest that anybody has come to actually saying, well, look at Nostradamus predicted something. He called some guy named Hister some animal that was going to rule the world or something. But I think the Nostradamus predictions is a load of old camel dung.
Well, really, man, I mean, you'd have to believe that.
Yeah, D.E. came really close.
He ain't come close to nothing. I don't know anybody that's come close to anything. When I was growing up, I'll tell you a story. When I was growing up, there was a woman that was very, very popular, and a lot of the old creeps out there, and I say that with due respect to all of you, I'm one of you. Many of us will remember when we were kids, there was Jean Dixon. Anybody, you guys know the name?
Uh-uh.
Jean Dixon was big in the newspaper. I think she had a couple of books out. Oh, yeah, Jean Dixon. She had all the big predictions, man. She knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, how it was going to happen. And she wasn't, I don't think she was right about anything, man. I think the thing that made Jean Dixon famous, and the reason she got into the newspapers and became famous in the 60s, I think she predicted Kennedy having a problem. I think she said, you better not go to Dallas. Something like that, that propelled her to national fame. But she also made a lot of other weird-ass predictions that never happened, you know.
Like what? Name one.
She said that in the early 60s, born in Egypt, would be a young man who would grow to adulthood and change the face of the earth. He would become the biggest thing in the world.
What about Prince?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what about Prince?
Oh, Egypt.
Yes, Egypt. Prince. He would be the biggest thing, almost like Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen, man. It didn't happen. I mean, there's nobody. Can you think of anybody? I can't even think of anybody famous born in Egypt other than Mubarak and Omar Sharif, if you want my honest opinion.
Who's he?
He was an actor. He was in Lawrence of Arabia, a bunch of junk. Anyway, so Gene, I'll tell you who was the closest to anything. It was that sighting or that vision or whatever the hell it was. You might want to look this one up, bud. There was a vision that three little kids had. They saw the Virgin Mary. They were walking down a road, and
I think I know this one. The little kid seen Mary.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know whether it's Fatima or it was Guadalupe. It was one of these, and these kids stood there as this Virgin Mary apparition told them what was going to happen in the coming century. And two of these kids eventually became nuns, I think. I don't know what happened to the third. But the predictions that were made by this apparition were taken to the Vatican. And the Vatican stored them and did not reveal them, I think, until recently. I think the Virgin Mary apparition or something. I mean, this is pretty weird stuff.
Man, you're making this up.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
No, yeah, man, I read about this.
I'm not making any of this up. The predictions were taken to the Vatican, and the Pope stored them in a locker where they store the prediction, you know, at the prediction locker.
What do you mean a prediction locker, man? That's insane.
I don't know where they keep this stuff, but wherever they keep it, okay. So anyway, recently they unveiled it. Now I know that one of them was revealed early. And this was revealed before the Iron Curtain fell or the wall came down or however you want to call it. But the Virgin Mary apparition predicted that Russia would return to God. And that was the, I believe this happened right after the Bolshevik Revolution. As you know, the communist sort of socio-political beliefs. You know, do not accept a belief in God, that it is, as Karl Marx said, opiate of the masses. And so this was a big deal. And that came true. That came true. I don't know how hard it was to predict something like that, but nonetheless, I'll look it up, man, during the break, but it was either Guadalupe or Fatima or somebody by the name of Fatima. It was Fatima? And what did they predict? It was, oh, here it is, Jace, thanks. On May 13, 1956, the issue of Parade magazine, oh, this is about Gene Dixon, okay, 1956? So that's how Gene Dixon got famous. In 1956, in the issue of Parade magazine, Dixon wrote that the 1960 presidential election would be dominated by labor and won by a Democrat who would then go on to be assassinated or die in office, though not necessarily in his first term. She later admitted, during the 1960 election, I saw Richard Nixon as the winner, and at the time made unequivocal predictions that JFK would fail to win the election. In the 1956 pronouncement, she merely stated that a president would be assassinated or die in office, not necessarily that one would be assassinated. So I guess she went back on what she said. But nonetheless, that made her very, very famous.
What about the kid at the Fatima?
We'll find out about that. All right, anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be coming back here in a few minutes with a few stories. I guess we got time to get into... into one of them. Oh, an Oklahoma jury has convicted a pharmacist who was once hailed as a hero. What happened? A jury on Thursday convicted an Oklahoma City pharmacist of first-degree murder, saying he went too far when he pumped six bullets into a teenager who tried to rob the drugstore where he worked, and suggested that he spend the rest of his life in prison. Jerome Ursland, 59, had been hailed as a hero for protecting two co-workers during the May 19, 2009 robbery attempt at the Reliable Discount Pharmacy in a crime-ridden neighborhood in South Oklahoma City. A prosecutor, however, said that after Ursland shot Antoine Parker in the head, knocking the six-year-old to the ground, Ursland himself made himself judge, jury, and executioner by getting a second handgun and shooting the boy five times in the abdomen. A coroner's report said the latter shots killed Parker. This defendant was absolutely not defending himself or anyone else, Assistant District Attorney Jennifer Chance told jurors. Defense Attorney Irvin Box asked jurors to close their eyes and imagine what they would do in the same situation, and told them Ursland had to take action to end the threat. He eliminated an armed robber. Police said Parker wasn't armed, and since the shooting have disputed Ursland's claim that he was wounded during the robbery attempt. He did not testify at the trial. Eight women, four men. They recommended a life sentence after deliberating 3.5 hours. How about that, man?
Man, I tell you something. In this country, you can't even shoot nobody. It's robbing you, man. You're going to go to jail.
Well, think about it, though, man, for just a second, okay?
What to think about?
Well, he shot the guy. The guy's down. Now, according to this, he's out of bullets. He grabs another handgun and fires five times into the kid's gut. Now, it may be argued that police officers, when they're faced with deadly force, will oftentimes respond with a volley of shots, a fusillade of shots that to a lot of lay people seem like overkill, but cops want to make sure a guy is down, especially when he has a gun. This kid didn't have a gun.
What are you supposed to do, man? Sit there and think about all this stuff? He ain't a cop. He's just a citizen. And a guy's in a store, and a kid come in trying to rob him, and a regular citizen's supposed to think all this?
Look at, man, it doesn't take a lot to know that you've got a guy dropped on the ground. The guy is down. He doesn't have a gun in his hand. He's got nothing. He's on the ground. You just shot him in the head. It doesn't take a genius. Even if you've got a gun and you've got bullets in that gun, it doesn't take a genius. You can certainly, you draw down on this guy or whatever, and you've got him, and someone's calling the cops, and that's where it should end. Now, to pump five extra shots, I guess, in our society, at least this jury believes, a normal and a reasonable human being is going to stop and not continue firing unless he really has to. They didn't have a gun on this guy. He was already on the ground.
All you're doing is defending a criminal.
You guys aren't even thinking about this, man. That's all you're doing. You're just being pissed off.
Yeah, I'd be pissed off, man. The guy coming in my store.
Well, the kid was shot in the head, went to the ground. No gun, laying there.
Yeah, I'd go and get another gun. I'd shoot him, too.
Well, guess what? You'd be sharing a bunk with this guy then for the rest of your life. How's that feel?
I get another lawyer.
Well, good for you, man. You know how many guys are in prison with other lawyers? That was the decision that they made. I ain't saying I would have recommended that if I was on that jury, but I can understand. I can. I mean, I'm trying to see this from... I always like to put myself in the other guy's shoes, you know? I'm just trying to see, and I don't know.
I'll bet you anything, if you was a guy that happened to, you'd shoot a guy 5 times in the stomach, too, and reload and everything.
Is that what you think about me, bud?
No, I don't think you're bad. I think you would, though.
That's what you think about Phil Hendry, huh? If I saw a guy laying there with no gun, I'd go and get another gun with 5 bullets, and I'd go ahead and pump it right into him.
Yeah, I think you would, too.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's not being a... I'm not trying to say you're bad.
You just did. You basically said that I'm some kind of an idiot. That's what you said.
Well, you are.
Shut up. All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we'll have all this Three Secrets of Fatima stuff. I've got we got the lowdown on that. And coming up, after a growing outcry, the Canadian mother of the genderless baby is now defending herself. Oh boy, wait till we hear. We were really on it last night, man, talking about this Canadian couple that they don't want to have a kid with a gender yet. And people have been ripping into these silly people. So let's find out what's coming up next from them. The Whitaker, her name is Whitaker, and his name is something like Doofus. I forget. Anyway, check us out on the web, too, at philhenryshow.com, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio, so for patriots,
ass, huh? Yeah,
by patriots. It's the wow. Phil Hendry Show. Radio, for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, News and Information Hour. So it was the Three Secrets of Fatima that I was referring to, and I can't read them all because it's a very lengthy, and we're looking at Wikipedia, which I don't trust anyway. However, in this case...
Yeah, but the Wikipedia is the most complete.
Well, we don't know what's complete, but there were three secrets that were spoken of and to these children. Now, it was in July of 1917, around noon, this apparition, now popularly known as the Lady, Our Lady of Fatima, gave them three secrets. And these three predictions or secrets were involved hell, World War I, World War II, and the shooting of John Paul II. That's according to the official and orthodox interpretation. And the two of the secrets were revealed in 1941 in a document written by one of the children, a Portuguese shepherd. I shouldn't say it was a child. It was a Portuguese shepherd by the name of Lucia Santos and her cousins Jacinto and Francisco Marto. Lucia, I think, went on to be a nun, and she revealed one of the secrets in a document in 1941 at the request of Jose da Silva, who was the bishop of Laria. And then there was another secret, the second secret, which was a statement that World War I would end and goes on to predict another war, World War II, during the reign of Pope Pius XI, should men continue offending God and should Russia not convert. The second half requests that Russia be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart. So a lot of this had to do with Russia being godless. The third secret, without reading a big-ass thing here, was supposed to have been released in 1960, I think, and was not, if I'm correct, and the papal reasons for not releasing the secret, I don't know what they were, and you guys could look this up, but that had to do with the shooting of Pope John Paul. Now, is all of this accurate? I don't know. Were these the words of this apparition, or were these the things that were concocted by these three shepherds? I don't know. I suspect. One can be in the throes of hallucination that's not drug-induced, that's not induced by anything other than adrenaline and the release of histamines and all kinds of crazy biochemistry in the brain. A person, religious people down to the years, have been in the state of hallucination, and that doesn't make what they're seeing or hearing or believing any less valid. But it's, in my opinion, more likely that there was some kind of a hysterical, and I realize this probably pisses people off, you know.
Yeah, man, there's some people out there think the Virgin Mary did appear.
All right, fine, the Virgin Mary appeared, but nonetheless, what I'm more interested in is what was said, or what is claimed to have been said, or what these shepherds brought back to the official Catholic hierarchy, and it all seems to be very, very interesting. It does seem to prognosticate, and correctly so, and that's why I said what I said at the very beginning. We were talking about Gene Dixon and Nostradamus and all these jackasses. There's only one instance in my life that I read of predictions being made that actually came true or were close to coming true, and that was this Fatima thing, see?
So you're saying that that Virgin Mary, she was right about stuff, but the Nostradamus wasn't?
I don't even know if No, I'm saying that the Virgin Mary, if she existed, yes, she was right, Nostradamus. Nostradamus.
Call Nostradamus.
What?
Nostradamus. Nostradamus, I mean.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, I didn't know what you meant.
Well,
I knew what you meant. So there you go. That's it in a nutshell. Read up on it, Three Secrets of Fatima, and go somewhere other than Wikipedia. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you don't like Wikipedia.
Wikipedia has come back to bite me on the ass too many times, man. Too many times with you guys at Wikipedia, I've believed what I've read, and the next thing you know, oh, well, it ain't quite, it's not exactly like that, and a bunch of other crap. So whatever you do, and God knows we have the opportunity now with the World Wide Web, which is basically having the largest library in the world right there in your home. It's one of the greatest things that's ever happened, I think, to the human race. So that if you have a question about something, don't settle for one source. Go and get two or three more. Find out what the truth is, man. We've never had a better, we have never, ever been in a better position to know what is happening in this world and what has happened than we are in right now. And one other thing. Wherever you go and whatever you do in your research, try to make those sources as close to official, and what I mean by official, officially academic and scholastic as possible. Don't send me links, as I often get, hey, Phil, did you read this article? Prison Planet, or whatever. Was that Planet Prison, or whatever it's called?
Yeah, it's called Prison Planet.
I gotta believe Prison Planet? Like, that? Yeah, there's some real objective journalism there. Any more than I would believe an article somebody sent me from Fox or CNN. You start out with a news article, say, from Associated Press, even Reuters, it doesn't matter, BBC, I mean, there are some areas, New York Times, some publications and news sources that I would trust as objective, and then you move on from there to something else. But don't start out with, wow, did you see this? Yeah, what sort? What website? The National Socialist Daily Workers Journal. Oh, yeah. That's great, man. Thanks so much for that. I'm really going to, yeah, be informed, man. Right. All right, when we come back, we'll get into this story, which I can't wait to read. The Canadian mother, last night we were talking about this woman, this Kathy Witterick, and the guy she lives with, David Stalker. Well, actually, they are married. And they have a baby that they're expecting, and the baby is without gender, and that's by design. They don't want the kid, they don't want the kid suffering from head trips. They don't want people putting a lot of head trips on this kid about, oh, wow, you're a girl, that means you're this and that. So they're keeping the kid genderless. And they've also, they've got two other sons. It probably just kills them that the world knows they're boys. Even though they dress them in pink with pink wigs. I mean, there's something really wrong with these people. Nonetheless, the story came out yesterday, and there has been a backlash, a reaction in Canada. And I can't wait to find out what it has been. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline dot radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Now then, I got, this is a trip. Why is that sitting out there like that?
What is?
I don't know. Anyway, here's what I want to tell you. We have here the story on the Canadian mother that we talked about last night, but I want to get the I want to get the audio. There's just one audio clip. It's from a gender researcher. He was on the Today Show. I'm not exactly sure whether it's all that important to hear this guy, but what the hell? You know, we thought we'd find the audio and then launch into the story here of this woman, Witterick, and her husband and the kid with no...
penis.
No, get out of here.
Can't say that, man.
Say no penis. The kid with no gender is what the kid is. But I can't find this right now, man. Anyway, Canadian mother defends keeping gender secret amidst growing controversy. A Canadian couple says it's none of the world's business to know their baby's gender, despite a firestorm of criticism over their controversial decision to keep their infant's sex a secret. And that's all well and good, and I'm sure that that's exactly how a great many of us might even imagine it, but there's more to this story than just that. This is a couple that really doesn't want their kids' gender known at all anywhere, to the extent that they, like, they masquerade the gender of their kids. Kids got on a pink wig, man. Come on.
Is that a boy?
Yeah, it's a boy. That's the other kids. Kathy Witterick said her four-month-old baby Storm should be able to develop its own sexual identity without having to conform to social stereotypes or bow to predetermined expectations associated with gender. Now, that may be well and good. I'm male. What is that to be male? I will decide what it is to be male. All right. There's a couple of things you can't do when you're male. What's that? Give birth to a baby. I will decide. Well, now, wait just a minute. You can't decide that. You can't decide that, man. Well, yeah. So don't give me that line of horse hockey. Anyway, Witterick, 38, and her husband, David Stalker, have faced a backlash since the couple's story first appeared in the Toronto Star last weekend. Witterick says her critics are being judgmental. Of course, that's what it's called. We're judging you. Witterick said in an email Friday that the idea that the whole world must know what is between the baby's legs is unhealthy, unsafe, and voyeuristic. We know. Well, why do you know? Are you voyeuristic and unclean and unsafe? And we're keeping it clean, safe, healthy, and private. Clean, safe, healthy, and private. Witterick said Storm has a sex which those closest to him or her acknowledge and said they don't know yet about the baby's color or dress preferences. They don't know yet about the baby's color or dress preferences. We must know. You know, this is kind of like the way they treated the emperors of the old world countries, whether in Asia or Europe. If the new emperor, the newly crowned king, was underage, was a child, in some instances, they'd, you know, well, what if the kid farted to the left, that meant invade Bulgaria or something, you know.
You kidding?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's a crazy, weird-ass time in the history of the human race. Well, he's the king, and if he's the king and he's divinely placed on that throne, well, then the kid may burp up some strained peas, and that means, you know, we're off the gold standard.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about kings and queens, man. That's how they dealt with them when they were 3 years old.
Oh!
Well, that's what the way this family is. You know, Storm must only decide what color of skirt... And what kind of bra, you know, whatever. What if it's a boy and wants to wear a brassiere, I guess. So, Witterick sent an email Friday, the idea that the whole world must know what is between the baby's legs is unhealthy, unsafe, and voyeuristic. We know, and we look at it every night. Witterick said Storm has a sex which those closest to her or him, they've, okay. Witterick and her husband have also been criticized for the way they are raising their other two children. This is really gives me the creeps. 5-year-old Jazz and 2-year-old Keo are well aware that they're boys, says who, but have been encouraged to shun gender norms and express themselves in whatever way they wish. For instance, they feel that it's okay to create human beings by procreating with a tree. And they've allowed the boys to have sex with a variety of different trees to see if babies are made that way. When told, of course, they're not, the parents said, how dare you insult our intelligence? Of course we know they're not, but maybe these kids think something else. Let's just watch and see what develops. Huh?
Jeez. Really?
Not really.
Man, you know what he's kidding?
Witterick said Jazz has the right to choose his clothes and hairstyle and said he chooses... How about if the kid said that he doesn't want you as his mother anymore? Does he have that, Mrs. Witterick? Does he have that right? Because I would endorse that. That one there, I'm backing that one up 100%. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I think you should, first of all, put the kids in front of you and say, do you want them as your mommy and daddy? No. All right, see ya. How do we know that that was a free choice? Yeah, well, same question over here. Anyway, Witterick said Jazz has the right to choose his clothes and hairs. Oh, it's a boy, huh? Oh, they already told us.
Yeah, they already told you about the other two. It's just a new one.
Witterick, Jazz has the right to choose his clothes and hairstyle and said he chooses freely to wear pink despite criticism. Bull crap. No kid likes to be put down.
I don't know, man. You know, if the parents supported me, the kid likes the pink.
Yeah, but he's getting all kinds of crap from his schoolmates. Don't you think that that would have some effect? I mean, kids are, you know, susceptible to that peer pressure. Anyway, Jazz has a strong sense of being a boy, and he understands that his choice is to... What does that mean, he has a strong sense of being a boy? You just said that they should pick their gender identities. In other words, not that they're boy or girl, but they want to how they express their gender their way. Now you're putting judgments on him because you're saying he has a strong sense of being a boy. Well, what does that mean?
Well, he knows he's got a you-know-what.
Okay, so he knows he's got a you-know-what. The mother just says he has a strong sense of what... So he has a really strong sense that he has a penis. Well, that's great. That's... Yay. We worked 5 years on that one. Great. What else? No, that's... Witterick said the argument that children need a sex taught to them in order to feel safe in the world does not hold up in their experience. What do you mean by a sex taught to you, other than the fact that little boys are given guns and little girls are given dolls? Is that what she's saying? Or that boys wear blue and girls wear pink when they're born? Is that the unholy reinforcement that we are forcing on our children that is warping them and turning them into God knows what, cannibals, cannibal killers? She said an infinite 4 months. And who is this woman, Witterick? What does she know? She's a mother, I understand that, but they're interviewing her like, Mrs. Witterick, please inform us, won't you? Now, what is your education? I took basket weaving. Uh-huh. She said an infant 4 months is still learning to recognize himself or herself, and it's not appropriate to force a sex on them. Now, at the age of 4 months, mothers and dads that are listening to the Phil Hendry Show tonight, how do you force a sex, not sex, but a sex, how do you force a gender on your four-month-old? Tell me, real fast, come on!
Well, what's that lady saying? Like, put on blue or something?
No, man, no. Four-month-old kid, how are you forcing a sex on that kid? Are you saying that like a little boy, do they put a little airplane mobile over his crib?
What are you talking about, a mobile?
Like those little things that hang from the ceiling?
Well, like, I don't know.
Well, I don't know anything about four-month-old kids, so I guess I, you know, but I it's kind of goofy, man. I'm trying to think of how do you force a sexual, in other words, how do you force consciousness of a gender on a four-year-old? Witterick said the couple has been trying to keep their children safe from a media frenzy, but said it's been difficult. The couple's been criticized for imposing their ideological values on it. How did we find out about you in the first place, Mrs. Witterick? That's what I'd like to know. Did you write an email or a letter to the Toronto Jackball Mail? You know, I bet you shoved your kisser out there. That's how we got to know you. And then you're all upset about the media frenzy. She said the couple's been trying to keep their children safe from this media frenzy. The couple's been criticized for imposing their ideological values on a newborn and subjecting their kids to ridicule. Says Witterick, as she wrote in this email, Storm will certainly need to understand his, her own sex and gender to navigate the world. The outcry has confirmed that clearly. Well, you know, you ain't so different from the rest of us, lady. But there has never been any question that within our family, the issue of sex and gender and the decisions relating to it are always open for age-appropriate discussion, Witterick wrote. What do you mean, age-appropriate? What does that mean?
Well, what are you saying, man? I mean...
I'm saying that if this woman wants to lift off of her children the consciousness of gender identity the imposition of gender identity and consciousness... Then what do you mean by age appropriate? Because it seems to me that a discussion of that, at least, is appropriate to any age in their house. But she's already laying down the rules. Witterick says it's important to challenge traditional thinking. Why is that? The discussion that emerges not only outs people in their rush to judge they demonstrate the prevailing views, but also has the effect of helping people examine whether they truly do believe the status quo to be the best that we can do. Is this the best that we can do to grow healthy, happy, kind, well-adjusted children? Not what you're doing, lady. No. The thing that we need in our society more than ever before, and maybe not so much in Canada, we need moms and dads. Okay. We need moms and dads. That's what we need. And discussions about whether a kid decides how he wants to be a boy, I mean, that's strictly for you bourgeois jackasses. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that these people are probably upper middle class, bourgeois, up the yin-yang. You know, they think they're revolutionary in their thinking, but in point of fact, they're elite and they're hermetically sealed from the reality of life. If you want to know how we raise healthy and happy and well-adjusted kids, I got a great idea. Let's have a dad and a mom. Or any two-parent unit. How about that, okay? I don't want to... But let's have parents in the house. Sunday dinner together. Somebody standing over them and making them do homework. Someone there to give them advice. Someone there to hold them when they're hurt. Someone there to tell them when to get up and when to go to bed. To make sure their teeth are brushed. To make sure they're going to the doctor and getting dental care. To make sure that they're protected. To give them a view of the world that's intelligent and that is strong and that is at the same time with humor and realistic. To have enough maybe money in the bank to send them to a nice college. And if you can't send them to a nice college, send them to a public college. But, you know... This is what we need. Not you clowns with your puffed up view of life, with your experimental view of things because, you just woke up one day and you took a whiff of lilacs outside and you decided, oh, and not only are you going to make a difference for yourselves, which is fine, but now people like you suddenly are seen as some kind of a genius, man. In the days and the months to come, I'm going to be dry heaving at the number of people that are going to be writing articles. You know, maybe there is something to this, you know.
Well, I'm not going to read them, man. Why would you even put yourself through that?
How am I going to avoid it? Laura Swan, a friend of Witterick's, I bet you she made that last name up.
Yeah, I bet she calls herself Swan on account of she thinks it's bitching.
Laura Swan, a friend of Witterick's, called Witterick a really good mom. Kind of weird, and I think she's a lesbian, but I really like her, said Swan. I'm kidding. She didn't say that. She said she's a really good mom. She said her kids are great, but she didn't want to comment any further because she might say something. In fact, she most likely would say something that would make Witterick hate her. A follow-up article in The Star published earlier this week, that's the Toronto Star, documented furious reader feedback criticizing the parents for turning child-rearing into a social science exercise. Dr. Ken Zucker, the chief psychologist and head of gender identity service for children at Toronto's Center for Addiction and Mental Health, said the story has caused anxiety among people who are now wondering how they became who they are. That's what I call... Now, that, you know, those are people who've got some problems anyway. The reason this story's gone viral and been so much interest is because it's activated an ongoing discourse of how does a child's gender identity actually get formed, Zucker said. There would be people on one side of the spectrum who would say that gender identity is completely hardwired, and even if you don't have, if you don't sex a child, they're going to develop a gender identity in accordance with their biology. And then there are people on the other side of the spectrum that say that gender identity is completely influenced by socialization. And then there's Phil Hendry, who says it's a little bit
Of both.
Exactly. Thank you, bud. All right, coming up, an amazing story of a dog with two broken legs that crawled back home after a tornado blew him away. The Phil Hendry Show coming up next and philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, KFI tonight will be our video cast on KFI AM 640 here in Los Angeles, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, final segment here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com. Tonight, our video cast will be our KFI show here in Los Angeles. This is one of them heartwarming stories, man. You know.
Yeah, man, that dog, I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it.
I read a story once about a dog done this.
Well, you know, there was a story, an amazing story of a family that, this is an amazing story of a family that was out sailing and their dog fell off the boat. The dog found its way to an island. The dog was spotted months later on this island by some workers for the Australian government. The dog was publicized. The family got it back. It was an amazing story of survival. And the dogs, they say, swam about a mile to get to the shore. Here is a dog with two broken legs finding its owner after the tornado blew this little guy away in April. And his name is Mason. He's a one-year-old terrier mix. He'd been hiding inside the family's garage when a tornado barreled through North Smithfield, Alabama on April the 27th. His owners ran back into the house to take cover. When they emerged, their home had been destroyed. The garage was intact, but the dog, Mason, was gone. The garage remained intact, but the door came off. The dog was sucked out of the garage, said Dr. Barbara Benhart of Birmingham Jefferson County Animal Control. The owners searched for days, but they'd given up hope. They came back to the site weeks later to sift through the damage, only to find Mason sitting on what was left of the front porch. Is he going to make you cry?
You kidding me? Dog came off of the porch?
Yeah. Left homeless and without enough resources to take care of the resilient pup, the family called the county animal control office to see if they could help him recover. The owner, who wanted to remain anonymous, broke down in tears when he realized that they couldn't take care of their beloved pet. His front legs were flopping, completely broken. They almost windmilled, said Dr. Benhart. So I asked her director if I could farm out this dog to one of my vet friends and see if we could get someone to help us. Dr. Bill Lamb of Vulcan Park Animal Control in Birmingham offered to help without hesitation. He took one look at the dog, and he took him in. He was dehydrated. He was malnourished. He was about 50% of his normal body weight. Once he was able to stabilize Mason, he enlisted the help of two orthopedic surgeons to fix the puppy's legs. It took three of us 3.5 hours, two plates, and 17 screws later, he had his legs. Though the doctors offered their services free of charge, many people in the Birmingham area have offered donations to cover Mason's medical bills. We didn't expect anything, said Lamb. The donations will go to cover the hardware, the screws and the plates, and what's left over will go into the general fund for those who still need help. Wow, now Mason's recovering nicely, according to Lamb. The plan is to help keep him at Vulcan Park Animal Care until his owners can take him back. He broke down in tears when he found out they could take him home, said Lamb of the owner. We have it worked out where he is going to be able to go back home and when he's healed. For now, Mason just wants to go back to being a normal puppy. How old is this dog? 1 year old, man. Not old at all, huh? Let's listen to some of this audio. We do have some audio clips here. I don't even know what time it is, but we got a little bit of a minute. Here's some audio clips. This is in an interview with WBRC Television. Dr. Benhart of Birmingham Jefferson County Animal Control explains how Mason traveled back home after being the victim of this tornado.
He's got two broken legs and their distal radial ulnar fractures. They've not been able to be in alignment, so neither one of them have healed. So he had to crawl on two broken legs to get home.
I wonder how far he had to go.
Well, man, a tornado probably blew him halfway across the country.
Well, I don't think he blew him that far.
Yeah, how far away do you think he went?
How far you think a tornado going to blow you?
Well, there's a lot of tornadoes that blow people not halfway across the country. Here is Mason's vet, Dr. Bill Lamb, speaking to the same television station about the dog's treatment.
The left leg, which is actually was the challenging leg because it was broken so very, very close to the wrist, we finally wound up after trying to pin it several different times, putting a very specialized facial maxillary plate with 10 screws in it, or 9 screws in it. So now Mason is two plates, 17 screws down the road, and so far, so good. Everything lined up well, stable. So far, we're 5 days out of post-op.
Oh, man, do we have time for this last piece of audio? This is the animal control shelter employee.
This is probably the most dramatic that we've seen as far as an injury in an animal that survived this long. It's kind of started tapering off the amount of animals we're seeing come in as a result of the storm. For an animal just to show up on someone's porch after all this time is pretty remarkable.
All right, our show is produced by Jason Ranch. Technical director is John Elkin, our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. See you tonight.
Phil Hendry.